So they just missed the prayer in the intro. It's fine. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. So context to this verse, because you see King James words here, vaunteth, puffed. Vaunteth, from the 1828 dictionary, or vaunt, specifically to this verse, means to boast of, to make a vain display of. So it's vain, right? It's you're boasting of it yourself. It's prideful. Puffed up physically means to be swelled with air, physically. To be swelled up with air, right? You take a deep breath in, you're swelled up with air. But spiritually, it means to be inflated with vanity or pride. And so if you're a note taker, today's title is Priority Over Pride. Priority Over Pride is the verse. And the first thing that comes to mind for me with scripture when you're talking about pride is Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 14. That's Lucifer's fall. Lucifer's fall. If you go, I'm not going to switch back there, but if you read it, it says in Lucifer's, his fall happened because of pride. He says, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. And then the last one is, I will be like the Most High. So that is Satan putting himself above God and putting himself, you know, he says, I will exalt above you as God, because that's what I want to be. So, in an illustrative sense, we need to take the concept of these prideful I wills and turn them into selfless will I's. So you take something that you want to do and you turn it into will I, as in what will God want me to do? What should I do? So you take the will I's, or the I wills, and turn them into selfless will I. So when I'm writing this out, it sounds way less confusing. It's just so we're all aware. But as a prerequisite to teaching this, understand that pride is in our sinful nature. It will always be a constant, just as our flesh is. It's not something you can get rid of. It's not something that you can, you know, that you can... it's always going to be there if you allow it to be there, right? But with daily time in the Word and prayer, we have the ability through Christ. We don't have the ability without Christ, but we have the ability through Christ to subside that sinful nature, just like our flesh. The more you're in this book, the more you feed into this, the more scripture that is on your heart, the more things you can reference when a situation comes up. And you don't steer towards your flesh. You know, you can't fill both cups. You fill one cup overfloweth. You can't serve two masters, right? So when you fill one cup, that's what's leaking out. That's what you're portraying, you know, spiritually. So when my spirit is filled and it's just overflowing, guess what? So is my wife's, because that's where it flows to. My kids, my house, my ministries, it all runs downhill. But when I'm feeding my flesh, that overflows, and then that runs downhill, and then a lot more chaos ensues. But you're going to notice that there's going to be, you know, a stagnant time, because where are you growing if you're just feeding your flesh? And so that's kind of the prerequisite to this, is don't walk in to any situation or anything and just know that you can get rid of your pride. It's not possible. You can't get rid of your flesh. You can't get rid of your sinful nature. But we can feed the spiritual side of it. So the first will I, because I unfortunately made this a little confusing. So the first will I is, will I make Christ the priority and not a priority? Having the mindset that our relationship with Christ is a priority, that makes it an option. Right? You're gonna make something a priority, like my work is a priority because it pays my bills, which are a priority. It puts food on our table. That's kind of a the priority, but it is also a priority. You know, of course I want my kids to eat. But when we make Christ the priority, it's a play in words, yes, but it's also the fact that making something a priority kind of makes it an option. I can go find a different job. I can go do whatever. I can find a different ministry to serve in because it's just a priority. But when you make Christ the priority, it's not something you give up. So having that mindset as a priority makes it an option. Having the mindset that our relationship with Christ is the priority makes it a standard. That means there is no option. That means when you set something as a standard, which I taught on, I believe it was last year, possibly the year before, but I went through a lesson on goals and standards. Goals are an option. Like, I want to lose weight. That's an option. I can just sit on my couch. That's just the way it works, right? January through February, gym memberships skyrocket. You know, towards the end of the year, they skyrocket because that's just the way it works. That's a goal. That's an option. But a standard is something you set. I want my kids to love Christ. A standard. So I need to love Christ so they can love Christ. I need to do my job better. I set that standard to give 100%. It's not an option. So when you make Christ the priority, it makes it a standard. There is no option there. He is the priority. This book is the priority. Our relationship with Him is the priority because He tells us that. 1 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. And that the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. He is the priority." Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you." Make that the priority. So that's the first will I, because that keeps us from pride, right? That keeps our spiritual cup overflowing, is when we make Him the priority. Second, the second will I is, will I make Christ the solid foundation? Once again, it sounds like a play in words, but that's the key part is, if you look at the context of the words themselves, making something A is an option. Making something the is a standard. It makes it to where there is no option. It's a have to. So will I make Christ the solid foundation? Is our structure built on rock or sand? So as many of you know, that's my career, my job. I work in a rock quarry industry. So we take rock that's been buried for however many years. We expose it, we blast it, and we put it through a crusher. And eventually it'll either go on a gravel road, it'll go on asphalt, or it'll go in concrete. That's the rock industry, right? Well, I'm also in the sand industry. So I get to see both sides. I get to see how sand, when you have a pile of sand, you pour water on it, it just goes everywhere. It goes where the water goes because it's so light. You pour water on rock, it just cleans it. But having our structure built on rock, obviously, and the difference between rock and sand is that sand flows with where water goes. And that's why Jesus uses it as a parable. If you flip over to Matthew chapter 7, which I'm sure a lot of you know this parable. I love it because once again, this is my industry. This is my career that I get to work in and get to work with every day. So to see that parable in the Bible is, to me, it's really cool. But, starting in verse 24, it says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." And then verse 26, it says, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." So we see that if our solid, or if our foundation with Christ is literally rock solid, then nothing's gonna blow it away. At all. Nothing's gonna blow it away. Once again, you go back to that spiritual cup overflowing, that's a solid rock foundation. But then if you build your house on a sand, which he says, hear these sayings, which is the word of God, and sayings of mine and doeth them not, which is the application of the word of God, by the way, and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. So now we're foolish because that is the foolish thing to do. You know these things. You know, there's a lot of people I know personally that read this book and know this book, but there's no fruit from this book. There's no application. And so I would call that a foolish man. A foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rocks descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell. And that's it's going to happen every time. So when you feed your flesh, you're building your foundation on sand. It's going to wash away. It's going to blow away. As soon as a storm comes, as you know in the story of Peter walking on water, that's what he looked at. He looked at the storm and took his eyes off Christ, and he sank. It's the same concept is that when you build your structure, your foundation on sand, it's going to wash away. Might not right now for this first storm, unless it's this week, of course, and depending on where you live. A lot of floods happen, but, you know, the sand will wash away to where rock, you know, takes it. We need to have our foundation solid as rock foundation. Proverbs 10:25 says, as the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. Christ is righteous. He's the perfect person to walk on the earth. That is righteous. We are not righteous. We are far from righteous. But it's telling us that he is that solid foundation. He is righteous. Matthew 16:18 says, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So Pastor Brian here has two foundations, right? He's got his house and he's got his church. Not his church, but you know what I mean. Physically, he's ahead of our church. So he's got two things to look at, and that's what it says here. Our church needs to be built on a solid foundation. Because guess what? Look at the statistics today, which I don't know what they are because I didn't do the research, but if you look at it today, how many churches are planted? And then how many churches are closed? I mean, how many churches close their doors because there's just nothing there? There's no fruit there. And I'm not saying it's just because of whatever it is. But my point is that Brian, you know, with all of us, by the way, because we're all a part of this church, you know, we, it's our job to pray for it, and it's our job to do these things because God put this building on a rock. And it's our job to keep the rock there and not put sand. So it doesn't wash away. And so that's kind of the illustrated part of it. But 2 Timothy 2:19 says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from his iniquity. That's pride. That's sinful nature. Not get rid of it, but depart from it. Separate from it. Fill one cup so the other cup's not getting all the attention. So we have the first, will I is make Christ the priority and not a priority. Will I make Christ the solid foundation? And then the third one, it says, will I make Christ the final authority? Not a final authority, but the final authority. And then, you know, to that, are we serving God or man? Flip over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. I'll give you a second to get there. So are we serving God or man as the final authority? Colossians 3:22. It says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service or as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And it says singleness of heart there. When you go back to read Isaiah at Lucifer's fall before he did that will eyes, it states that it was in Lucifer's heart. It was in Lucifer's heart that he wanted to be above God. So keep that in mind, because God obviously knows our heart. And the best prayer you could ever do on a daily basis is say, hey, God, can you reveal my heart to me? Because that's going to know what's going on in my mind before it comes out of my mouth, right? Before my emotions take effect, your heart knows what the problem is. So singleness of heart, fearing God. And then verse 23, it says, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. And then verse 24 says, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. I serve man as authority every day. I can't think of anything, and I was trying to, even CEOs, even people who, you know, own their companies, they don't have a direct boss, but you still serve the government, which is man, right? So you, no matter what you do, you're serving somebody, of the world. But at the end of the day, you know, the Bible does tell us Obviously, I'm not telling you, like, go out there and speed because God wants you to get somewhere fast. It's not how that works. We still have laws we still have to abide by. But at the same time, you know, if my boss walks up to me and wants me to do something for the company that is against this, you know, hey, do this so we look better, yeah, that's not going to happen. And, of course, I'm not saying he would by any means. But I'm sure, you know, I've dealt with people that would do that. They would call me and say, hey, I need you to do this because we're supposed to send out this bid for this material, but it looks really bad on paper. Can you, like, change that paper? I have had that happen, and which is, by the way, highly illegal, and I can lose all my certifications if that gets caught. But my point is to it that there are people that will do that to make things look better. It's their pride in the material. Like, oh, it looks like garbage, but we need to sell it, so let's make it look better on paper. That's where, you know, obviously you draw the line. That's where I'm going to serve God first. God tells me not to do this, obviously. The law tells me not to do it. But my point is that God, Christ is my final authority. You know, and this tells me not to do what I'm about to do. So I'm not going to do it. You want to fire me? That's fine. God will provide whatever I need to after this because I'm serving Him. So, but we serve the Lord Christ. So flip over to Ephesians chapter 6, if you would. Flip over, flip back, however you want to do it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5, before the armor of God gets into play, Paul says, starting in verse 5, it says, servants. Once again, we go back to servants. That's what we are. We are servants. No matter how you want to label it, we're all servants because God is the priority. That means we are serving Him. That means we are serving. We're servants. So, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. So we go back to, it's just, Paul says the same thing. And verse 6 says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And then verse 7, with good will-doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Verse 8 says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And then verse 9 it says, and ye masters, do the same things unto men, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master is also in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. So there's a situation at work that I will cover just real quick where our company, and I'm sure a lot of you know it, but our company, my company, got purchased, it would have been last year, by Quikrete. And so when that happened, nothing actually happened. Like, we didn't even see, I still have yet today, to this day, you know, a year and a half later, to see a Quikrete truck drive anywhere near me. That just didn't happen. So obviously with the intentions, they bought us to sell us immediately. Then they didn't put any investment in it. So that's exactly what happened. They bought us and then they turned around and they were going to trade us to Martin Marietta with a bunch of other stuff. So minor details. The point is that we were bought, and then we were traded. So there's a lot of transitioning going on in my job. There's a lot of, you know, hands being switched around, people getting laid off. There was just a lot of that. And of course that brings fear. I have 7 people in my house, 2 dogs and 2 cats. Everyone's got to eat. Everyone, right? And so naturally my flesh is like, what's going to happen? And they, of course they can't give you directions. So come last October, we found out, hey, you know, my boss who was a salary guy, they called him and said, hey, you're getting let go next week on Halloween. Just letting you know, you have a whole week to clean out your office and be prepared. And that's pretty much that phone call. 7 other people got it. Luckily I didn't. All hourly employees were moving over. And I'm like, great. That's a little bit less stress, right? So he got that phone call. Well, come the day before Halloween, they called back and said, well, it's been put on hold. They ran into some details with Canada, you know, international. We're international. I didn't think rock quarries could go international, but it's a thing. But Canada was bringing some problems. So they put it off until the beginning of March or the middle of March. So 3.5 months. So for the longest time, I was doing my job. And then I was also doing, because there's only 2 of us, right, to run a whole industry in our department. That's a lot. That's a lot of things, a lot of moving parts to keep everything afloat. And then, you know, when you get a phone call that you're going to get fired, and then they tell you to stay home, but we'll keep you on payroll, you're not going to do anything. Literally, you're going to make the same amount of money as the guy that works 70 hours a week because you're on salary. So what happens is he comes into work, and nothing against him, because that's the mindset, right? You're going to get fired. You just don't know when. So you don't put your hands in anything. So that's what happened. So I took on his duty and his role because we still had to survive as a department, but we didn't have any leadership. They were letting him go. So, you know, I took that on, and I'm like, naturally, I just put my head down and I just started learning things and I just started doing them. And then next thing you know, I'm doing all of the things. So, and I loved it. I loved it because it was never a boring moment when you're dealing with people. So, you know, it was always something. It was always had to go to this place, this place, this place. Always busy. And it kept my mind going. But come, now we got taken over the middle of March. And all of that stuff got shut off. You know, my new company has that position already filled with a guy. We just have to adapt and learn their structure. Which is the opposite of our old structure when we were running really great. So it was really hard for me in my pride, because I'm like, I did all of this, and I didn't, you know, I of course I kept my head down and I just did it. I'm not the guy to cry wolf. I don't need more money because I'm doing something different. I'm growing in this area. Fantastic. I'll do it. It's a learning process. I like to learn, you know, of course, without being taken advantage of. But if I have an opportunity to learn something, I'm not going to cry to you wanting more money because I learned something new. I'm just going to learn it. You know, it looks great on my resume, whatever it is. So that happens. And they came in and said, well, we have this structure. Now we need you to do this. And it's like going backwards. It's kind of like a demotion without them actually saying we're demoting you. But the whole structure is entirely different too. And so I'm like, well, I enjoyed that part. I enjoyed not just doing the day to day, like, you know, you get shoved into a quarry somewhere and you're just left alone. Like, I don't want that. I like the interaction with people. I like the dealing with the customers and solving problems. Like, all of that was in fun. It was fun. It was fun to learn and it was fun to do. But now you're telling me that I can't do those things. So then my pride came into play. Still, you know, I'm still struggling a little bit with it today of like, why? And then, of course, a little detail is they hired my old boss back and automatically put him back in that position with a lot of other things that I was not very happy about, but it was out of my control. But it was like, why can't I do all that stuff? Like, I am more than capable of doing it. I'm more than educated enough, and I've done it the last 6 months, and now you're just kind of kicking me to the curb. So it really, like, that part of it was me. It was a me problem, not a them problem. They took us on. It was a me problem because I wanted more. I wanted to do these things. And then it took the realization, like, it started affecting me at home, where I was taking some stuff home, and I'm like, this is out of my character. Like, you know, God bless me with the ability to serve no matter what the situation is with no stipulations, but I was creating stipulations and I was getting upset that those expectations and stipulations were being met. So I was having a really hard time dealing with that and still adjusting to all the new stuff. And it's like, you know, God finally showed me, it's like, just step back. Just step back. Like, this is where I need you, but this is where you want to be. Just step back and give it 100%. Like, just do that. Just step back to wherever I put you, just be 100% there. If you start doing all of these things, because I wasn't giving my 100% everywhere I could be, because there's too many pots, too many hands in the pots, too many pots to even give 100% in each one of them, because it's not physically possible. So he narrowed my pots down to be able to give 100% in everything that I do. And it took that moment for me to realize, like, I had to laugh at myself. Literally, I was in my truck driving by myself, as I normally do. And I'm just laughing. Because it's like, I don't know what happened. I don't know what I heard on the radio. I have no idea. But it was just like, yeah, that was dumb. That was dumb. Right? And it was like, what am I doing? That's just not part of my character as me, as myself, to be that prideful, to, you know, gain all of this cool stuff and then watch God just take it away and I'm mad. And it's like, that's just not, and I talked to Holly about it several times. I'm like, this is just weird. This is not like, I don't know how to handle it because this isn't like me. I've never been in this situation. This is that moment where it's like, what do I do? Right? God, tell me what to do. Like, smack me in the face, do whatever. What do I need to do? Or how do I handle this? Because it's not cool. Like, this isn't me. And then it happened. And it was like, just give 100% where I put you. And then, you know, because obviously, as I like to say, one of my favorite sayings is, the less I do, the more I have. You know, the less I do, the less things I try to control, the more things that I have, because God blesses me with that area, those situations. So, you know, taking everything head on myself got me nowhere but more work, where I could take a step back as God told me to do, give it my 100%, and then, wow, next thing you know, you have more that He gives you. You know, it tells us to, I can't remember, it was in Luke, but anyways, the less I have, or the less I do, the more I have. And it really hit in that moment that my pride was really taking effect. And it was actually, like, it worked out great to teach this, obviously, because that's what I'm going through right now. And I needed to study this out to understand, like, pride, and that was kind of the mindset I had, was I'll just get, like, I never had it. How do you acquire something you never have? It was always there. But it was this time where I went through this said situation that it surfaced. And I'm not saying I was never prideful. Don't take it that way. I was always prideful. But it was like, this is a big moment because it changed my character. It changed how I, you know, was at home. It changed how I talked to Holly. It changed the situations and how I would think of things. And, you know, then it changed, of course, when that happens, then it changes how you parent, and it changes your attitude, your emotions. It changes everything, because I was filling that cup of pride. I was filling that cup of, you know, focusing so hard on what is wrong with me instead of saying, God, like, reveal my heart to me, and then not only do that, but help me to understand and direct me to what I need to do to not feel this way. Like, how can I serve you, or what can I do to realize that I need to rely on you more. I need to make you the priority. And that's when it clicked for me. And so it was that situation that, you know, once again, I still am dealing a little bit with it today because of the situations that come up at work. But it's not my reaction, you know, when something happens, to just get mad and, you know, get all frustrated and just, you know, it took that moment to, God, Brady, I have you here. I just need you to give 100% there. Just do that for me, and then we'll move on. And it really took that. So, but that was the final authority, because I was depending on man, right? I was depending on, you know, serving man and not serving Christ. Then that little bit of glimpse, that little bit of time, is really when things went downhill. Because my focus had shifted. My priority had shifted. So, to wrap it up, we'll do will I make Christ the final authority? And then to end it, we'll look at how it says, will I die to myself daily? Because that was the ultimate thing. Romans 8:13 says, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die, but if you live through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Luke 9:23-24 says, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. And that was, once again, that was one thing I had to really, like, he opened my eyes to. I don't even know what, like I said, I was just driving in my truck and I started laughing, and then it started clicking in my mind of all these things. It's like, it's a pride issue. To boil it down, it's a pride issue. I want the I wills. I will do this. I will do this. I will do this. But I wasn't looking at the selfless part of it, of what will I do for Christ and to glorify His name and His kingdom. And I was struggling with that for a little while. just with the train, and of course change. The foundation of life. I don't deal with change very easily. I don't know if anybody else does or not. Like if you are adapted, like my mom, I was talking to her about change and she's like, I love it. If I have to move somewhere, I can do it instantly and have no issues. I'm like, dude, if I have to move somewhere, I want to know like a year in advance so I can research the place and get to know it and then visit a few times. And then, you know, that's just how I am. Change is rapid to me. Change is, it's an internal process. I have to internally process what's about to happen. And of course, with my new company, that was happening, right? We had months to figure that out, but you don't really know all the details of everything until it happens. And that's the part that I was struggling with, is the unknown. But my flesh was wanting a title, right? And if you look at the world today, it's all about titles. You know, within companies in corporate America, the better title you have, the top title CEO, right? You own the company or you run the company. But people below that will trample on and they will deceit anyone possible to climb that corporate ladder because of a title. They want the entitled. I'm like, just put me, you know, my mindset before all this was just put me somewhere. I don't need a title because then that comes with responsibility and I don't want all that. I just want to do my job and go home. Just feed my family, provide, right? But then I got a dose of it. I got a sample of it. And I'm like, okay, I want that. I do want that. I do, you know, I do love dealing with people. I might be a little bit of a chatty Cathy. So, you know, dealing with customers and stuff, just talking to them. I'm like, I actually like the corporate world. I just couldn't do a suit and tie every day. But, you know, I could do this. And then I had to get set back. I got a little taste of it and I got set back. But it was my reaction to the situation. And it was that pride. So the last verse I want to cover today that really is the foundation for me personally, and you guys can take whatever verse you want to that applies to you. But this one is key to me because it helps me to realize that I'm not important. You know, and I want to do whatever I can for His kingdom, for His name, and glorify it, regardless of where He puts me, regardless of what job I have, regardless of what ministries I'm involved in. He could take me out of everything, and I still want to glorify Him. John 3:30 says, He must increase, but I must decrease. So I must die to myself to serve Him and realize that I don't want all of these cool things. As you've noticed this last week, that materialistic things, they can blow away. They can be flooded. You know, and that's, Holly and I were discussing it last night because Garden City was supposed to get a massive storm. So we were like, okay, we do need to prepare, obviously, for stuff like this because we need to know, you know, like, do we need to go ahead and take the dogs downstairs, the cats, whatever else? I'm like, is it okay if we leave the cats up here? Because I'm not grabbing them. I'm not getting clawed. Or the dog, you know, will they survive? Like, it's like those things that you've never really been a part of because, you know, Holly grew up in Kentucky in a trailer park. So, yeah. So tornadoes to her, they would just go sit out front and go, yeah, that's cool. And they'd just watch it go by. I am like, we need to do something. Like, there's a tornado in Clinton. We need to go downstairs. And it's like, that's just how I am. I'm like, it paranoids me. And she's like, no, we'll just sit here on the couch and watch the storm roll through. And I'm like, yeah. I remember that it was years ago when we first got together, there was a bad storm and I don't even remember where we were. So mind you, I didn't mind driving in the snow and the rain. Not a problem. It is what it is. I'll drive through a storm. I don't really care. That was then. This is today. I'm getting older and wiser. I don't even want to drive in the snow. I don't want to drive if it's raining. And like yesterday, I left work 3 hours early because I'm like, I don't want to get caught in the middle of a storm because, you know, if it rains a lot, I don't want to be in the middle of it. So I went home early. But years ago, the first time I experienced this, and there was we were in Belton, and there was a tornado, sirens were going off, and she's just like nonchalantly just pacing around, just so relaxed. I'm like, what is the deal? Like, this is what are you doing? She's like, oh, I'm gonna go stand out on the back deck and watch the storm roll in from that side, and I'm like, what? What? That math thing, what process, like, when you hear a tornado siren, why would you want to go stand outside and watch it? That doesn't even make sense. She's like, babe, we grew up in a trailer park with nowhere to go, no storm shelter in Kentucky. And I'm like, okay, so obviously we were raised differently, because she's like, yeah, we're just going to go out here and watch it. So anyways, my point to all that is, last night we sat there and we were like, what are we going to do? Like, you know, do we need to go ahead and go downstairs? Because we have a basement, you know, we're spoiled. We have a basement to go to and get a shelter. She's like, no, we're going to sit right here on this couch, open the curtains, and watch the storm roll through down the street. I'm like, anyways, and we had the conversation as we're watching the storm, and I'm just like, I got my phone radar updating every 5 seconds, and we're discussing, like, you know, the more we think about it, and I was talking to her about it, like, we did a lot of stuff to this house. We have a lot of things in this house. There's a lot of money invested in this house, with our vehicles and different stuff. And I'm like, I would not be upset if it blew away, because it's just materialistic. It has no, like, the value is to us, not to his kingdom. You know, obviously we, the value, like HBI books, I can reprint those off. You know, our Bibles, we could buy another Bible. Everything you can think of that's in our house, other than, you know, the safety is concerned. But materialistically, everything that's in our house, you can just rebuy. And you can reread it. You can do whatever with it. But it's our actions today. And that's why going through 1 Corinthians 13 is the love, not just love. I love everyone in here. I love everyone in this building. But it's like that agape love. It's like the love that Christ had. How are we on an applicational level applying that to people in relationships and discipleship? You know, Jason and Paige are a prime example. You know, Jason decreased so Christ could increase in his life for him to handle teaching us and going through that process. And, you know, it's like those are great mentors and great people that we see in our lives to this day, because we still have that relationship today. Because they were obedient and they decreased. They decreased themselves to put Christ first in his kingdom, because discipleship is not materialistic. Like teaching someone, having a relationship with someone, you know, that's the real deal. And that's the key part, the key verse to my life, and then dealing with love, is I must decrease. That means I need to step aside and give 100% where God puts me, whatever ministry it is, whether I like it or I don't like it, whatever he calls me to, is giving it 100%. Because he's got me there for a purpose. And that's the whole focus of this, is doing it with love. And not just because, you know, somebody needs a hand with something or whatever the case is. So my point to it is, that he must increase, but we must decrease. You can't have both. So I will pray real quick. Father, just thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for just the application of my life with this lesson personally. And I pray that, you know, we can walk out of here to know, you know, to start doing the will I's instead of I wills. And you know, us demanding you to give us what we want. Instead, we serve you. And we allow you, we serve you in areas that you put us in, and we serve you 100%, Lord. And we do everything we can to glorify your name, glorify your kingdom. Just even if it's in the church, whatever it is, Lord, I just pray that we can take this today and walk out of here and learn how to fill our spiritual cup and not our flesh cup and our sin nature. I just thank you for your word. I thank you for just the illustrations. And I pray that we can just apply these things. And I just thank you and I love you. Amen. So to wrap it up, a couple of things. One, we'll do, does anybody have any prayer requests?